Fred Film Radio from the 76th Venice International Film Festival, Italy.
Fred Film Radio, this is Nicola Comotti here, the 76th edition of the Venice Film Festival, and today I'm pleased to be joined by Lauren Granville. Welcome.
Thank you.
You are here with an amazing film, The Kingmaker. I had the pleasure to watch it yesterday. And it's like almost like this sort of slow burning tour de force. The first, he steers on one side and then automatically like U-turn. It's like, oh, where are we going? But I learned so much in those like less than 2 hours. And it's incredible that we don't know that much either about the story, especially like on the Western side. And
yeah.
So I think we do, as a service for the people, for the audience out there, we need to kind of like create a sort of like, as an inception of the story. So we're talking about the Marcos family. Imelda is the sort of new, we say matrona, like in the Roman times. And she's the kind of a kingmaker. But there's so much more. And he keeps going. We don't know. This is just an incipit for something that it could come. So like, I'll let you.
Yeah, I mean, Imelda Marcos was the first lady of the Philippines for a 20-year dictatorship with her husband, Ferdinand Marcos. And in 1986, they were kicked out of the country in shame, really, for the corruption. They were accused of stealing $5 to $10 billion and were kind of thrown out of the palace in a people power revolution. And one of the things that really drew me to the story was learning that Imelda had returned to the Philippines and had been a congresswoman. It was kind of unbelievable to think that somebody who left under those conditions, even the United States had a huge case against her, would be able to kind of remake herself to the point of getting into power. I came in thinking it might be kind of a quirky historical story, hearing about the Animal Island, which in 1976 she created. Everybody knows her for the extravagance of the 3,000 pairs of shoes that were found in the palace after they left. But I was more compelled by this island where they depopulated the indigenous population and brought in more than 100 animals on a ship from Africa, kind of a private zoo. And that the animals still survived and that Imelda still survived. It was kind of like these dual tales of survival. What happened as I was filming was her son Bong Bong ran for election for vice president. And at first he didn't have a chance of making it. But as he became a viable candidate and as the political scene changed, the election really drove the narrative. So history is a part of the film, but it really becomes a history of the present and a look at how when you don't remember history, it can repeat itself.
So yeah, and it's incredible as well. I don't want to spoil the film for the audience out there, but how the zoo itself becomes a living metaphor of what is going on. So like the illness-riddled animals that are still there surviving, trying almost to forget their own past.
Yeah.
And the thing that really shocked me is how you can see all these ingredients that it's endemic in the Philippines, but it's everywhere around now. Like the idea of like this completely like whitewashing of history.
Fake news.
Exactly. Fake news.
It's exactly. The fragility of democracy. That's what really made me stay with the story. It ended up taking 5 years, and I saw how many parallels there were in the Trumpian era and with the rise of nationalism in Europe and the problem of fake news, the manipulation of information in social media, our short attention span, how we're not focused on history, we're just focused on right now, the cult of personality, which can erase a lot of information and history. And so I felt like it was an important story, not just for the Philippines, but for the international community.
But tell me, because you gained access to this family, and specifically Imelda, that is quite unbelievable. You know, the amount of trust they had. You know, we see the ill-gotten wealth right when you're actually shooting, and she's very proud of it as well. So how long did it take to get, to earn their trust and be with them for so long and so intimately?
I did it over a 5-year period. She was very open from the beginning.
Right.
I mean, the first interview was the one with the Picassos behind, and she tells me so much. I think that was one of the things that was appealing about her as a character, is how generous and giving and kind she could be. In a way, it's that contradiction, because she also talks about her lovely friend Saddam Hussein and Chairman Mao and Gaddafi. And so you realize that when you get to know people at that level of power, everybody's nice. But there are also consequences. And the Animal Island was a kind of amazing metaphor for those consequences, because sometimes it's easier for us to have compassion for animals than it is for people. Of course, the Filipino people have suffered terribly, both under the corruption of and the Marcos and the brutality of the Marcos dictatorship, but also on the legacy of poverty and with the new strongman of Duterte.
Of course. One thing that really struck me as well, the masterful way that you portray the whole story. So we start with this figure that is really likable. You know, it's almost like you struggle to believe that there was, you know, the wife of like a dictator. And then slowly but surely we get to see the deeper and darker side of the story. And then, of course, as I said, like this crescendo at the end that it brings us shockingly to the present and the future too. Or anyway, yeah, like foreseeing the future, a very bleak future as well. The process to really structure the film this way was a sort of like a fluid thing, or actually took a long time
It took a long time. It was almost a 2-year edit.
Wow.
And think there were times when my editor didn't believe we could thread all the stories together, but I really felt that the animals were important, the history was important, the present day story was important. I think we started when Duterte was elected. That changed the ending when I found out that there was an alliance between Duterte and the Marcos. That changed where we ended. And when you change the ending in a documentary film, you change the beginning. We went back and restructured everything. I think I always wanted history to be part of the film, but history as a way to inform the character, history as a way to inform the present, and to inform the narrative. I never wanted to make a historical documentary or a biopic. It's not just about Imelda Marcos. It's really about the Philippines and about this lesson of when you don't remember history, you're condemned to repeat it.
Last question. It's a bit personal, maybe, but after being so entrenched with this, you know, maybe you will, sometimes you become saturated with the story or just becomes the norm, but what, talking about lessons as you just did now, what did you learn from, as a person, from this experience, especially like regarding the world that we live right now, that is like it just on the verge of, we don't know where we're going.
Right, it's a very precarious time. I think that one of the things that I took really powerfully from it is how fragile democracy is, how the things that I grew up believing were bedrock, the free press, the impartial court, free and fair elections, information that citizens could kind of make decisions, that all of that has been upended in our time. And I think what you see in the Philippines is it's one election away from the destruction of what we hold dearest. And so I hope that's what people will take from the film. I hope they'll be able to apply it outside of the Philippines and think how we have to safeguard our democracy.
I hope so too, and I thank you so much for making this film, really.
Thank you.
Thanks so much, Lauren, for being with us here, Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider. Thank you.
Great.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.